You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope, as always, that your day is going well. I hope that it's been filled with nothing but smooth sailing. You know, those days that you wake up and before you even finish your first cup of coffee, you're like, why did I even get out of bed? I hope you're not having one of those. I hope it's been fantastically wonderful. I'm just making up words, kind of what I do. Well, I'm so happy to have you here with me this morning, and we're going to talk today. I'm just really still thinking a lot about our conversation with Sarah Reinhart on Monday. We spoke about Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless, and, you know, it's conquering your demons and, you know, living with abandon. This book is so good, and it just really has me thinking, and I want to just keep reading it again and again, though I have a stack of books. So I had to put it aside for a couple of days, probably for me. Like, I don't know about you, but like days go by and really they're weeks and months. Cause you think like, for instance, all right, here's a great story. So I was looking at my carpet in the living room and it's a little throw rug. Well, it's like a 10x7 throw rug, but I was looking at it going, you know, this looks really gross. And you vacuum it and you clean it and you think, no, it still looks really gross. So I had bought it on Overstock and I thought, you know, I'm going to go find out when I bought this rug, which is be the time that we remodeled the living room, which remodel, I mean, we painted and we bought this throw rug. Ta-da, remodeled. So I go and I look on Overstock. It was 2004, 13 years ago, I bought a throw rug and it's still on my floor. I guess it's kind of frugal of me to let that go that long, but it's really gross. And we're going to be hosting Easter this year. So I splurged with $139 over on Wayfair. They always have just what I need. Yeah, that's not a commercial. I don't get paid for saying that. I just happen to be addicted to Wayfair. I have to step away from the computer, trying to learn to be frugal. We're going to talk about that next week when I get back. Just a little aside. Tomorrow I have Christina Trinidad on, and then going to be on vacation. School vacation is here, and then I'm traveling to Minnesota for the wine conference, and I'm very excited about all of that. So I will be off live until March 1st, which happens to be the first day of Lent. Yay! And Ash Wednesday, and we talk all about Lent when I get back, and I'll be blogging about it too. You know, if you haven't been over yet to Reconciled to You, Reconciled with a D to You, that's my website. There's a blog there. And I'd really like to invite you to subscribe because I'm going to finally start sending out emails. And, you know, it's going to have special content that you can only get through the email. It alerts you to when there is a new blog there, and Lent is a special time, and I'm going to be doing an awful lot during Lent through Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, but also on my own website, Reconciled to You. So again, we're going to be talking about being frugal, because that's part of my Lenten fasting is going to be from shopping and from television. I know, what am I, crazy? But you know, when you do Lent to the best of your ability, it doesn't mean you have to do everything perfectly. But when you do it well, it's such a fruitful, amazing, grace-filled time. But I know, I diversed. What else is new? Coming back to the regular road. Now we're back to our regular special scheduled program. So being really, you know, looking at this disgusting rug, I decided it was time to buy a new one. It's really cute. It's not that much money. Can't wait to put it. It's still standing in the corner. It's been there for 2 days. But what did all of that have to do with anything? What was I talking about? Yes, I don't forget. I kind of forget, but the Holy Spirit is very good to bring me back to reality. But that's like how time flies so quickly. That was what, see, I told you, I knew what I was talking about. When you think like only a few days have passed and yet it's been weeks or months, or in this case, 13 years. So anyway, excited to get my new rug, excited to have you here with us. And more importantly, excited to be talking today about fearless and God's love. And in the three things, well, the one thing, which ended up being three things, that was really stuck on my head as I pondered the fearless was, she talks about a predominant fault, you know, that sin that you keep going back to, that weakness in you that it's hard for you to avoid. It's like your temptation that you fall back into again and again. And for me, I have three. And I thought this morning we talk about those three. And then by the end of the show, I want to share with you a favorite scripture quote that really just keeps popping up everywhere. Whenever I see something again and again, especially at least three times in three very random locations, I know God's trying to give me a message. And the scripture that I keep seeing everywhere this week is 1 John 4:15-16. And I'm going to read it now, but we'll get back to it at the end of the show. The final segment is what I'm dedicated to talking more specifically about 1 John 4:15-16. And it really does have to do with trying to get over our temptations and our struggles. Mine are, by the way, our gossip, envy, and anxiety. And this is 1 John 4. And I'm going to give you the New International Version, the NIV version, because it uses the word rely in it. And everyone else uses the word believe. But I like the word rely. And here it is. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And that's the reason I like to use the NIV version of 1 John 4:14-16 is that it has the word in it, rely. Because if I want to overcome these things, if I want to live fearlessly, if I want to conquer my demons and live with abandon, I need to rely on the love that God has for me. I can't do it alone. It's His grace alone that conquers, that changes, that overcomes. It's completely a God thing. We really can't do any of this on our own. We need to rely on God because, again, it is a God thing. And I wanted to talk this morning about, I'm going to talk about gossip, envy, and anxiety, but just to kind of back up just a few minutes back to Sonia Corbett, who is known as the Bible Study Evangelista. We had Sarah Reinhart here. We were talking about her book, and Sarah quoted from the book, this lady Betty, the sweet little lady Betty, her morning Catholic calisthenics, where she literally puts on the armor of, well, I can't say literally because she's not really putting on, but she goes through this activity, this prayer activity, where she imagines herself putting on the armor of God. And she does it so with hand motions and that Catholic calisthenic moment, which I think of church. Our Catholic calisthenics. You know, we kneel, we sit, we stand. It's wonderful. If you have ADD, the Catholic Mass is perfect for you because there's so much movement in it. You're not just sitting, because once you start to just sit and you have ADHD, they've lost you. But I love that I get to sit and I stand, and the Lord is very funny because He knew that my struggle to stay focused was as it is. So He gave me a beautiful daughter who is profoundly deaf that I need to interpret the Mass for each week. So I'm really focused and I'm up. I do miss the kneeling, I have to say, though. Faithy's really good. Again, I know I'm kind of going down a little rabbit hole, promise to come right back out. But you know, one of the things I really miss about my Catholic calisthenics is that kneeling after receiving communion, that time of thanksgiving, and just living in that moment where you are in true communion, in one with Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Like, that's just an incredible experience that we get to have here on earth. I can't even believe God allows this. And I was really missing that because we have music in our Mass. So I would come back from communion and then I would sign the song. But I noticed that my daughter, who has been deaf since birth and really has no interest in the music. And she just, at that point, she wants to herself put her head down and focus on herself. And then she likes to look around. She's only 11. So I asked her, would you mind if mommy doesn't interpret the song? Plus, there's really no room for me to interpret. I'm in the first row and there's people coming by, you know, after receiving communion. And it's harrowing. So I asked her if it was okay for me to receive communion and come back and kneel next to her and have that quiet time to pray. And she was so cute. She's like, of course, mommy, I don't like music anyway. It's like, of course you don't. Duh. What was I thinking? So it's really this gift I get now to come back and kneel and take part in that Catholic calisthenics a little bit. So anyway, Betty has like a little, like an illustrated book to help you go through that yourself in the morning. And I noticed on Sonia Corbett's website, BibleStudyEvangelista.com, or you can put in SoniaCorbett.com and it brings you right to Bible Study Evangelista. She has as a free download Betty's little prayer. It's so cute with the little graphics drawn by Betty herself and everything. So cute. So go to Bible Study Evangelista and scroll way down and you'll see Betty's booklet as a download. So adorable. I just printed it. I thought that's a great way to start the day, is to put on the armor of God, put on the shield, his word, the sword is his word, put on his love and all of those things that we need to overcome those struggles that we have in everyday, ordinary life that come up without us even realizing. For me, again, it's gossip, envy, and anxiety. And when we come back, I'm going to jump into those three things I want to discuss today, because they really are part of our everyday, ordinary life. And sometimes we think of God as being separate on Sunday, but really he wants to be part of our every moment. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today, just kind of following up on my conversation Monday, February 13th, I had with Sarah Reinhart, talking about Sonia Corbett's book, Fearless. She also has on her website, BibleStudyEvangelista.com, she has a Lenten, I think she calls it a toolbox. And if you go there, there's the book. And the DVD, she's got DVDs that go with her her books. I love that. And if you've ever heard her speak, she's got this great Southern drawl, and she's just so her hospitality, her voice, and her mannerisms are so hospitable. Like she just draws you in. And Sarah was talking about that on Monday too. You just want to hear what she has to say, and she knows the scriptures so incredibly well, and she's funny as all heck, and I just love her to pieces. So if you go to Bible Study Evangelista, if you're trying to still decide what you want to do for Lent, there's still time. If you want to pull together a small group, you know how much I love small groups. We're doing over, and I got scolded. I'm scolded by Sarah. I need to kick her in the shins, that girl. I hate being scolded. I got scolded on Monday's show because I sort of got a little sidetracked about how excited I am with Lent coming and doing Women in the New Evangelization Wine's book, Walk in Her Sandals. We are doing that as an online book club, and the Facebook page, if you want to join us, is called Wine Lenten Book Club. Very simple. You can, if you can't find it, or you need some help finding it, send me a message. Where am I? I'm all over the place. Go to Reconcile to You on Facebook, or A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. You can find me. I'll make sure you get invited to that group. You don't even have to be reading the book to join us if you just want to be part of that online community of the conversation that we're going to be having around the book, Walk in Her Sandals. It's kind of an original book. We've talked a lot about it here on the show. It's part Bible study, part historical fiction. It's got reflections in it. It's Lectio Divina, which is spiritual reading. It kind of walks you through the steps, each chapter for one of the scriptures. And group questions, individual questions. Pat Gohn has a part in there with the gifts that God gives to womanhood. Jam-packed. It's fantastic. And we're going to be doing a wine tasting like that. Yeah. During Lent, as we just look at bits and pieces of it and just kind of help ourselves walk with Jesus through that Holy Week experience and draw closer to him in his passion, his death, and his resurrection. And that's really what Lent is all about. It's just growing closer to God. And I say that, you know, for me, I've been keeping drawn this week to 1 John 4, 14 through 16. And I think that's going to be my mantra for Lent. I try to pick one scripture each Lent to kind of hold on to, kind of help me as I'm trying to fast in the different ways that we're called to fast. We're called to fast from food. I am actually going to step out and do the eczema diet. I'm still really struggling. And there's a few foods that probably are the trigger. And I feel like I'm already just eating air. And I can't have dairy. And I can't have gluten. And I can't have wheat. And now we're going to remove eggs and peanut butter and probably nuts from the equation for at least the 40 days. I have the book. I've been kind of struggling every time I open up and I read what else I have to give up. It's difficult, right? Like, it feels like I'm always being asked to give up something, but that sacrifice is really just purifying me for the person I'm meant to be. And if you could feel how itchy I am and how horrendous my hands look, you'd be like, really? Is eggs and peanut butter really that important to you, Allison, that you can't give them up to feel better? But it's like this mindset. It's like we have to overcome this part of our mind that says, but I like meringues. They're like the only dessert I can eat. And of course, I just went to the store and bought four giant tins, because you can only get them in certain places. And I found them at Ocean State and I bought four giant tins of meringues. And I know they're causing me to have a flare, because I was getting better and now I'm miserable again. And peanut butter, it's like, I love peanut butter, but you know what? I think I'm going to love not being itchy even better. And I need something every time I'm tempted to go and get to the store and get those meringues or open up the can of peanut butter that's in the house. I'm not going to get rid of peanut butter. My family doesn't need to sacrifice along with me. I'm going to need something to hold on to keep me from going to that. And that's also going to be the same with the other three things I'm going to talk about in a minute: gossip, envy, and anxiety. So for me, I have several Bible verses that over the last 10 years, the Lord has put on my heart to memorize. One is Philippians 4:6, worry about nothing, having no anxiety in anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. Amen. That's a big one. Obviously, I've been saying that one for a long time. That was the first one I memorized because I have a lot of anxiety. Another one is 1 Peter 5:7. Anyway, it's 1 Peter, and he says, cast all your anxiety upon him, meaning God, because he cares about you. And that's a really good go-to when I'm starting to get very overwhelmed. Just cast all my anxieties upon him because he cares for me. And of course, Proverbs 3:5-6 is acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will trust in the Lord. There you go. There's part of it I missed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make straight your paths. I didn't grow up with the scriptures. I cradle Catholic. Then I went away for a long time. I never opened a Bible. We didn't pray really at home. We did, you know, the now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me through the night and then wake me with the morning light. Is that it? Yes. If I should die before I wake, no wonder I have such anxiety. I changed it when my kids were little. You can tell. Like, I don't want to say that before we go to sleep every night. I have enough anxiety. I'm not going to pass it on to them. So, like, that was our prayer time. We never talked about God. We prayed the rosary only when it was lightning out and then our house got struck. So there's that. I got to be honest that we were not praying the rosary that time that the house got struck. We were sitting in the car. It was a pretty big storm. And it was the 1970s. We had a metal antenna on our house that my dad hadn't grounded. So that's what got struck. I don't think God was like, you're not praying. I'm going to strike your house. It's not happening that way. But you know, to now have this gift of the scriptures to hold on to lean on, to use when I'm struggling, and it's important to me. And so I really feel that this has been God's message, because he has shown me 1 John 4 everywhere. Like, I was doing a communion service Tuesday at the nursing home, and I turned a page that I had never turned to, and there it was. I was doing some adoration and doing some reading, some scripture reading and adoration, looking at fasting, trying to just really decide, you know, what God's call is in that and how can I go about it. And, you know, knowing I had to give up these foods, which is fasting. And there it was again. I was reading one thing and it cross-referenced 1 John 4, and then it came up again somewhere else. Like, whenever this starts to just pop up left and right, because it's not a normal, it's not one of those that's just prevalent that you see all over the place. I know that God's trying to give me a message. And again, 1 John 4 is, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So those are that's the Bible verse I'm going to memorize and kind of sit with all during Lent. It may take me most of Lent to memorize all of it, but I know I have enough of it to pull from. And that is, I've come to know and rely on the love God has for me. I'm going to, you know, make it all about me, because that's what I do. I've got to personalize it a little bit. It's okay if you personalize scripture. Ain't nothing wrong with that, because God is talking to you. It is a personal message. It's a love letter. God's word is a love letter to us. And how I think about how long I didn't read that letter. And now that I do, how empowering it has been. I mean, let me tell you, life is still a huge struggle. I think these three faults that are part of me are going to be a part of me forever. And I'm going to have to fight them with all the power that the Lord has given me. And I can't do it alone. That power that he gives me is his grace. And I'm going to need all his grace to conquer these. You know, gossip is, I love Max Lucado calls gossip this thinly, we gossip in the thinly disguising it as a prayer request. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have reached out to me for prayer requests and they want to give me every detail. And it's like, no, now we're kind of slipping into gossip. I don't need to know every detail to pray for this person. And I myself have done this because I recognize it. You know, I want to tell somebody something, but I know that I shouldn't. And there's a thing called detraction, which means it's the truth and I'm not telling stories about somebody, but does this person I'm talking to really need to know all this about the person? Usually the answer is no, that I don't have to give away the details, you know, for somebody to pray for somebody. So I know that I really have conquered my gossip. You know, I had to leave the PTO. I had to leave a lot of friendships behind because they led me into the temptation of gossip, that they were really only based on gossip. And so leaving those behind was hard, but yet I wanted to be a better person and I knew I couldn't do it without making this separation. But God's grace, you know, he keeps me focused on, you know, using my words for good and not to, you know, to fall into that temptation to gossip. And so I've done really well conquering it for the most part, but there's still that desire, especially when I'm frustrated with somebody. If we come back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Apparently, my music had a little too much caffeine this morning. Is it just me or did it feel incredibly fast? It's kind of funny. We are talking today about being fearless, kind of following up my conversation I had Monday on the show with Sarah Reinhart, talking about Sonia Corbett's book, Fearless, from Ave Maria Press. Really great stuff about conquering your demons and abandon, living with abandon. I don't have the book in front of me. I'm just trying to remember from my really poor memory. I was talking about gossip. And, you know, I really have struggled with this forever. I was not a good friend. And I lost friends by the truckload because of my desire to gossip. I got a high off of it. Like, I could feel, and to this day, if I start to kind of fall into that, because there's still some temptation, some places where I need to be very careful, and I can feel the rush, you know, the adrenaline rush coming, kind of like when I'm shopping or eating chocolate. You know, you just know that it's not good for you. You know, you shouldn't be doing this, but there's this rush that kind of gives you that momentary euphoria, like, yes, this is what I'm meant to be doing. This is good stuff. And it's not, it's really bad. So I've been able to give up this gossip. You know, I don't go seeking it. I don't share it readily, but there's still places where I have to battle. And, you know, that's when it comes to like that balance. When somebody or a situation or a person is really bugging you and you don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, maybe you need some advice, and advice is good. And you should seek advice if you're really struggling, but you have to be kind of mindful in this, you know, picking a particular person to become kind of that confidant. For me, it's Kevin. And I have a couple of girlfriends that I will turn to now. It's not good for me to go to all of them and share the story, because then we're talking gossip, especially when I can start to feel that feeling, that euphoria, like, oh, this feels so good. Because there's that temptation to kind of bring people onto your side, like you've been wronged or you're angry, and you think the more people I can get on my side, the more right I am, the more wrong they are. That's not helpful at all. So to be mindful too of your motivation. Am I truly seeking advice, or am I just trying to get somebody on my side? And, you know, that venting is okay, but venting has to be purposeful, and it can't be, you can't be drawing that, you know, person down or speaking ill of that person. You can just speak of the situation and how you feel. You have to be very careful. And it's a fine line, and it takes practice. And I fall over it quite often. That's why I'm so grateful for the Sacrament of Reconciliation, where I can go and say, listen, yeah, you know how Saint Maria Escriva says that person's supposed to sanctify me? Yeah, they didn't. Instead, I sinned and I spoke evil of them, or I, you know, said too much, or I said it with malice. You know, where's my heart? God knows my heart. So I can pretend that my heart is doing one thing, but God knows what it's doing. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know what it's doing as well. I do really love that line from Saint Maria, Jose Maria Escriva, where he says, you know, instead of saying this person so-and-so is annoying me, say that they're sanctifying me, or recognize that they're sanctifying me, that my ability to handle people who get on my nerves makes me a better person. And it shows God's love. I come to know and rely on God's love for me, for us. when I rely on that love, when I lean on that love, when I let God's grace move in the moment, I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to have that experience of God's grace moving within me. And it's hard. It's not easy at all, especially when they continually pop up and annoy the heck out of you or they hurt you. I have people in my life who I love dearly who don't love me back, or they don't love me back in action. And it's hurtful. It's hard. And I have to really restrain, especially because I'm not the only person this person hurts. And I have to be very careful when that person starts to vent, not to jump on their bandwagon and go down the road with them, but to lift them out of it and say, you know what, I understand, but that person's doing the best they can. They can't offer you any more than what they have, because they don't have any more to offer, and pull them out of the pit and keep them from falling into temptation. It is not easy. It is very, very hard. The other one I really love that keeps me from thinking ill or sharing my feelings about other people is this great line from Thomas A. Kempis from The Imitation of Christ. Remember, when you're putting up with somebody, somebody else is putting up with you. Written, hundreds of years ago, and still so right on point. The other place that I really struggle is envy. And I always think I have it conquered, and then something will just happen, like this morning. I'll get to that story in a second. First, let me kind of differentiate between jealousy and envy. Neither are good. Neither are good. But envy is, for instance, right now, there's two homes being built behind my house, one on the right and one on the left. I live on the fork in the road. They're humongous homes. They're huge. And I walk by them and I'm like, ugh. But I'm only like, ugh, because I don't have one. Like, my house would fit in their garage. I have a very tiny home. And I am grateful for this home. It's in a wonderful location. I have had multiple businesses in it that's worked out perfect because of the great location of it. I can barely keep it clean. I can't imagine trying to keep a house that clean. We have only one bathroom for five of us, which in one way is a blessing, because cleaning bathrooms is a pain in the butt. No pun intended. But when we have the stomach flu, it's not so great. Or when we're trying to get somewhere and we all have to same bathroom. We have to stagger. Someone's getting ready 3 hours before we leave. Stinks to have one bathroom. But I'm grateful that I own a home. I'm grateful that I have this home. It has lots of memories. It's served us well. I feel like my family is closer because we are literally on top of each other, because it's such a, not literally on top of each other. We're very close. I'm trying to stop using the word literally, because I literally, I hardly do mean what it really means. Like, literally means it's actually happening. And yes, trying to break some other bad habits. So I am grateful for this home, but then I'm jealous of those people. I haven't even met them yet. And they have these big, beautiful homes, brand new behind me. You know, they probably spent their money better. They probably work harder. Maybe they were just blessed with a great inheritance. I don't know. But that's the jealousy of, like, I want that. Like, they're lucky, happy for them that they have it, but I want it too. Now, envy is very different. Envy is this ugly emotion that kind of crawls into your heart and makes you think, why are they getting that? It's not, sometimes you think, they're undeserving. And other times you think, well, I'm just as good as them. And that's kind of where the category I fall into. I really do love all these people who I'm envious of. And I do know that they've worked really hard, that they're doing the Lord's work. I mean, that makes it even worse, right? I'm envious of people who are being successful in ministry to God, right? Hello, I'm a loser. Like, I don't even, I have to admit that. Like, that's horrible. It's not like I'm jealous of the guy who has the Lamborghini, who got it, and trading stock. No. I'm envious of people who are in the same field as me, doing ministry, and who are getting great breaks and doing fabulous things. And I see them pop up on social media. That's the one thing I do not like about social. Ignorance is truly bliss. Let's face it. Ignorance is bliss. We don't know what people are up to. It's great. But when you get an email in your inbox and you see that somebody is doing has just written a great book, and now they're doing retreats, and you're somebody who's trying to do retreats, and you're struggling to write a book. It's not her fault. I can't write the book. It's just a hard mindset for me. It's my ADD. I don't know what it is, but I'm struggling. I've been struggling now for many years because this book has been in my heart and in my head for since like 2003. But anyway, I digress again. It's her blessing. And I'll tell you who it is, because here's the thing about vices, and my vice is envy. In order to overcome that vice, you need to practice the virtue. You need to practice the opposite virtue of the vice of which you struggle. So my vice is envy, and the virtue is admiration and kindness. So here's this morning. I just love how God just puts things in my path exactly when I need them. So this morning, Danielle Bean sent out an email talking about her new book, Worth It, and the wonderful Women's Day retreats that go with it. DanielleBean.com for more information. I am not going to be jealous because the vineyard is huge. There's enough room for all of us to share God's love. And this is the devil trying to keep me thinking, well, you know, God loves her more, and he's giving her better opportunities because, you know, she's better. He loves her more than you. But no, God loves all of us, and he has a purpose and a plan for each of us. And this is hers. And so I even reached out this morning and sent her an email and asked if she wants to come on the show and talk about her new book, talk about a retreat. So this is how you overcome those demons. You fight against them. You put on the armor. You let God's grace move in your heart, and you battle through them. You say, you know, it'd be easy for me to sit there and just be jealous or envious or sad that she's getting to do this and I'm not. Or I could say, Lord, thank you for the gift of Danielle Bean in this world. Thank you for her book. Thank you that she's reaching out to all these women and bringing you to them. And that's what I decided to do. And I tell you, I feel much better. I don't feel that struggle of envy on my heart. Instead, I'm excited. And so go to DanielleBean.com for more information on her Worth It book and retreats. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you haven't yet visited reconciledtoyou.com, please go check it out. That's my website. There you'll find the events that I offer and my blog, which I'm pretty popular on. Now, that's not the word I wanted. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I want you to go visit it. Go to reconciledtoyou.com. I guess the word prolific, but I don't really write. I mean, I write pretty often on it. I love my blog. I love sharing with you the thoughts that come in my head. The Lord is just so generous, really, with what he gives me to say. And maybe I don't get to the book, but I do get to the blog, and I'd love to have you join it. If you can, there's a subscribe button there. I promise not to fill your inbox. In fact, I've had the subscribe box there for about 2 years. Remember the beginning of the show when I talked about how time flies and you think it's been a week and it's really been 7 years or 13 years? Well, I put the subscribe box up probably 2 years ago, and I've yet to send out an email, but I'm getting ready. Someone's finally taught me how to use MailChimp, and I'm going to start sending out some emails, and I'm going to include some special, email subscriber only content. I promise that they'll be entertaining and useful, and just to let you know when there's a new blog up there. So if you could go to reconciledtoyou.com and subscribe, I'd be ever so grateful, and I promise not to make you crazy with emails. And if I do, you can just unsubscribe, but there is an email finally coming. So speaking of, the transition wasn't going to work. was just going to move on to talking about the scripture of love, 1 John 4:15-16. And I shared with you the NIV, the New International Version. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God. God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely, that's the word I love the most, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And I know I also left off the last segment. I was talking about the three things that I have to battle and how Sonia Corbett's book Fearless has really been helping me to embrace God's grace, to let go of gossip, envy. And the third thing is anxiety. And that really has a lot to do with this verse. So it kind of worked out perfectly that this fourth segment of today, we'll talk about the scripture and how we can battle anxiety. Worry is like my superpower. Like if I had a cape, you know, and like one of those Supergirl outfits, it would have a big W on or a big A on the chest, you know, for worry or anxiety or fear. Like pick any of those words and that's my life. And I've been a worrier my entire life. Again, maybe because my mother used to put me to sleep every night with if I should die before I wake. You know, like, really, Mom? What were you thinking? I come from a very long line of worriers. Like I remember my grandmother, she worried about everything. She was the most nervous person I ever met. And as she aged and we started to take care of her, she had cancer. And at the end, we were all caring for her. I recognized or realized that she took a pill every day, which I think in the end, it was a Valium. You know, I think she took Valium every day and she cut it in half. She was so funny. But she really worried. And I think, again, that's part of my history, my genetic makeup, it's something I have to battle. And I think that the more crazy this world gets, the harder it is to kind of overcome that worry. And when we need God and his grace and his love and the hope that he gives us more and more and more. And, you know, if I spend any time mulling my future, that's when worry comes in. And Sonia, I put that up, that quote, I don't have it in front of me today, but it's over on Reconcile to You on Facebook, that wonderful quote that, you know, depression is looking in the past, anxiety is looking in the future, but we need to be here present in the gift of today that God gives us. Like that's, as Sarah Reinhart said on Monday's show, like that's why we call the gift the present, because it is a present, like right now in this moment, because this is all I have, really. I'm not promised a future, and I can't change the past. I need to stay focused in today. And worry is that time that I spend mulling a future that may never happen. I mean, how many things have you worried about that haven't happened? Praise the Lord, right? But it's so hard for me because I have a hard time trusting in this invisible God. It's like he makes himself present and known to me in those God sentences. And I'm so grateful when I see the butterfly, the fidelity truck, or I keep seeing the scripture pop up everywhere where that to me is God saying, here, my darling, my dear one, as Sonia Corbett would call us, I care. I love you. And here's a message to give you hope and to keep you, you know, focused on that hope and not on yourself and not on your fear and your worry. And I was asked to do a review of a new series coming out, the Catholic, what's it called? The Catholic Conference for Women. It used to be called Catholic Conference for Moms. Tammy Kaiser, she was on the show, and she's got a new reflection series out. I will put a link to that. And I could pick any of them to review, and I picked this one. I have this adorable sister, Faustina Maria, and she was sharing the ceaseless act of love. You know, your relationship with Jesus through prayer and the ceaseless act of love. And she shares this new book that's out from her community, Children of Mary. You go to childrenofmary.com, and these experiences that the venerable Sister Consolata Patron, who is the foundress of Children of Mary, had with Jesus. And he told her to this prayer to say, the ceaseless act of prayer to say, and it starts with, I will think of everything, you think of only loving me. And then Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. And it was kind of amazing that I was drawn to this one. I had no idea what this one was going to talk about. This nun was going to talk about when I chose it. But Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls is something that's been, it's part of my everyday prayer life. Especially if I'm driving, if I go by a cemetery, I start saying, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls the entire time I'm driving until I get to the end. And then I say, holy souls, please pray for us. But this new part, I will think of everything. You think of only loving me. It's such a great act of love and trust. And that's something I've been praying for. How do I trust you more, Lord? And to instead of getting wrapped up in my anxiety, wrapped up in my fears and my worries, instead, I remember that the God of the universe is really the one in control. I can't control my destiny. I can't control what happens beyond today, except for using my free will to love God and to in that love, give him my surrender, as imperfect as it is. And it is a pretty imperfect surrender. It's a very, very imperfect surrender. It's one that, you know, I laugh when I think about Peter's words, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I don't cast with the fishing net like he did. I cast with the rod. Like I throw out that one little hook with a little worm on it. Here's my problem, Lord. And I send it to him. And then if he doesn't act quick enough, or I start to doubt that he's actually there, or I start to feel guilty, like, oh, God has enough things to worry about, I reel it back in like crazily. Like that's stupid. Cast, take a net with all your worries, your cares, your fears, your anxiety, and cast them out. Give them to God. And then don't do anything. Sit back and love him. I think about Jesus in the boat, you know, like he said, cast your nets. And then they all sat there and God did the work. And then they pulled in this huge load of fish, like a ridiculous amount of fish, which, by the way, just as an aside, would have made them all modern day like millionaires. Like that catch would have made them millionaires. So when they then leave to follow him, they're leaving behind great wealth and great, you know, their families and their, and maybe the life that they had hoped for themselves, but God has a better life for them. Like if they had stayed behind as fishermen, would we know who any of them are? Who Andrew, John, Bartholomew, like, you know, those guys whose names I can't think of right now, Peter, would Peter have become the first pope if he had said, you know what, I'd rather just stick with what I've got here, some fish, some money. It's good. It's a good life. God asks more of us. God wants more of us and to trust him in that. And his, our life may have, maybe that very simple, my family, my children, my ministry may never get beyond the walls of my home or this microphone, or, but that's okay because that's God's will for me. And then saying, I will think of, you think of everything, God, you just take it. And I'll think of only loving you and I will trust in what comes to be. My spiritual director laughs all the time at me. Like I have this desire to be with God and to know God and to follow him. But I also want like this prenuptial agreement. Like I'll follow you as long as you do what I want. But that's not how God works. It's not how any of this works. God wants us to love him with abandon and trust in what happens. He will make good from it. Romans 8:28. And actually, I suggest reading all of Romans 8. If you're looking for something to read for Lent, make a note somewhere. Read Romans 8, meditate, and let God speak to you through that. That's where he talks about us being adopted and being part, becoming truly his children, his daughters and his sons. And there's such a peace and a hope in that. So I'm going to just leave you by, again, reading 1 John 4 with just a few thoughts included. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, now that's a historic, Jesus is a historic person. And to realize that he did live, people did see him crucified and they did see and eat with him after he was known to be dead. Think about that. God lives in them and they in God, and he makes himself very present through God's citizens, through their everyday ordinary life. And I'm going to throw in the next line from the New Living Translation that says, we know how much God loves us. We have put, and we put our trust in his love. So I said before, to know and rely on the love he has for us. The New Living Translation says, we have put our trust in his love. God is love. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Christina Trinidad. I hope you can join us right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.